One word from God can change your life forever. I want you to open your Bibles to actually to two places. We'll be flipping back and forth between them. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John and the 14th chapter. We'll start there. Stick a bookmark of some kind in there at John chapter 14. And then also turn over to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and the first chapter. And we'll flip back and forth between these two passages a couple of times, but you'll have them already marked there, and it won't take you very long to find them as we go from place to place. We're starting, though, in John chapter 14, and I'll read for you verses 1 through 6. John 14, verse 1 says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Let's pray together. Father, as always, we are grateful for the Word of God, for in it you reveal yourself to us, because your desire is that we would know you. And so we ask you today, Father, to open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see you in the fullness of your glory and your beauty. Draw us to your heart through your magnificence. We pray, Father, that we would come to know you in a greater way through our time of Bible study this morning, and have a greater understanding of what our purpose is as your children in this world. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's set the stage a little bit before we get into the text that we've shared with you already. Excuse me. John chapter 14. I'm going to need that water, baby. Is that one already open? Give me one of those. John chapter 14 is sort of in the middle beginning of a section of scripture that describes what goes on the last night of Jesus' life with his disciples. John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, and actually 18 as well. But 13 through 17, all five of these chapters describe what goes on with Jesus, between Jesus and his disciples, the last night that he spent on earth with them. Thank you. And so we read the verses in verses 1 through 6 of the 14th chapter. And these verses actually describe an ancient marriage ritual among the Jewish people in that day. Here's what I want you to see out of this. Let me give you a big picture of what Jesus is wanting us and them to see out of all of these chapters. Jesus Christ has come to restore intimacy between God and man. Okay? That's why he came. We were created for that purpose of having intimacy with God, being one with God. That intimacy was lost in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, thousands of years ago. And now Jesus has come to restore to humanity everything that humanity lost in the garden. And so Jesus comes to restore that intimacy, and he teaches them in pictures of intimacy, because that's the point he wants them to get. And so he uses in these verses of scripture, verses 1 through 6, he uses the picture of an ancient Jewish ceremony what would happen between a husband and wife when they become betrothed. Typically, what would happen would be the bridegroom, the husband, would often go back to his father's house, and he would build an addition to the father's house, build a room on the father's house for he and his bride. And after he has completed the room, he would go get his bride, and they would be officially married, and then she would come back with the bridegroom to the father's house where they would share life together. Of course, that is the very picture of Jesus having departed to be with the Father now, preparing a place for us. He says it's metaphorical. We understand that. But the day will come when Jesus will come again, receive us to himself, and take us to the Father where we will share life together with him forever. By the way, in that second verse, this translation says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Literally, the translation is abiding places or rooms. I know the King James Bible uses the word mansions. That's a sort of a poetic way of describing where we're living in heaven was the point. But it's a poor translation, and let me tell you why I think that. It is as though the prosperity gospel has somehow reached into heaven, and now we are looking for our mansion in glory, and that's what we're looking forward to when we get to heaven. Can I tell you today that heaven is not about what you receive, it's about who you spend eternity with, okay? Our focus needs to be on the who and not the what. We are in Father's house and we are with God and we are with him forever. We are often more concerned about the what of heaven, the blessings of heaven, than the person of God with whom we will spend eternity in heaven. It's why I love the verse of scripture that I think we read it last week. From Psalm 27 and verse 4, where David says, one thing I desire, that will I seek, that I might dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and behold your glory and behold your beauty. You know, a lot of people think that heaven's going to be a boring place. You don't have a clue. You really don't have a clue. When we get to heaven and we see the beauty and the glory of the Lord. Here's the thing. First of all, you and I get to spend eternity sharing the being of God. We are going to share the being of God together forever. And the beauty and the glory and the majesty of the Creator is so magnificent for all eternity. We will never get over it. We will never get over it. Our minds cannot fathom what lies ahead and what awaits us in heaven. John saw it in the Revelation, and he describes heaven in terms of precious stones and streets of gold and gates of pearl and all of these things. And he uses the most glorious things that his mind can conceive to try to describe what heaven is like, but he doesn't come close to touching it. Paul actually tells us in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that he went to heaven. He saw it. He called it paradise. And he said it is so unbelievable that the words to describe it escape me. Can't put it in words. That's where you and I are going to spend eternity with God. Jesus goes on in this 14th chapter. I'm not going to read all the way through there. But Jesus goes on in this 14th chapter of John to tell his disciples essentially that he is God in the flesh. And that he is the only way to get into heaven and spend eternity with the Creator. Verse 9, Jesus said, in response to Philip's question, show us the Father. Jesus says, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He and the Father are one. And he goes on to tell them, and remember what he's doing in these verses, in these chapters. He is describing the intimacy of God that awaits them in heaven for all eternity. But understand that before mankind can receive and walk in that intimacy with God, Jesus has got to go through hell. Hell on earth, if not literal hell, in order to purchase the salvation of humanity. Okay? And so while they're looking at what Jesus is saying to them, and it doesn't sound good, Jesus is wanting them to know that once I've done what I need to do, heaven is going to be open to you. And not only is heaven going to be open to you so that you can go to heaven when you leave this world, while you're in this world, Jesus is going to tell them in a few verses here, if I look down at verse 16 with me, Jesus is going to tell them, while you're in this world, heaven will come to you. Look at verse 16 through 18 and then verse 23. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another Helper, my translation says. Yours may say a comforter, advocate, intercessor. He will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Look down at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him and in him. Notice that he tells us there that if we believe, if we put our trust in the Lord, that he will come and dwell within us, that heaven will come to earth, that heaven will come to us, and God will live and walk and work and dwell within us. Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to send back another helper. He will be to you everything that I have been to you, with this one exception. He will never leave you. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. The Holy Spirit's coming back. He will be with you forever. He will never leave you. He'll not only be with you, he will dwell in you and be one with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus in you. We talk about receiving the Lord. We talk about having Jesus in our heart. In reality, what we're talking about is the person of the Holy Spirit and having him come and dwell and live with us. He who is, I ask you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at that with me, verses 13 and 14. He who is the foretaste of heaven to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul writes to this church and he says, in him, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Jesus with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge or as a down payment, as a first fruits, as it were, of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. What he's telling us there is that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us so that we can begin to experience now in this lifetime what still yet awaits us in eternity future with the Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is a foretaste. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on what we can look forward to in eternity with the Father. The Holy Spirit comes to us to live within us, to reveal the nature and the way of Jesus to us. But now watch this. But also to reproduce the nature and the way of Jesus in us so that we can become more and more like the Lord and a reflection of Jesus to the world. This morning I want to encourage you to embrace the Holy Spirit. To embrace the Holy Spirit, the helper sent to us by the Father, the one who has been sent to us, called alongside to help us in this journey of life. The Spirit of Jesus living within us if we believe in the Lord. Now listen, I've been a Christian for a long time, ever since 1974. A long, long time. And I have seen a lot of things in my spiritual journey. And I've seen a lot of perspectives and a lot of attitudes about the Holy Spirit over that journey, nearly 40-some years now, of being with the Lord. I started to say I've walked with the Lord all these years. I remember, you're familiar with the Bible teacher Joyce Meyer? I heard her say something that I could relate to years ago. She made the comment about walking with the Lord, and then she stopped, and she said, she talked about, just for example, she said, I've walked with the Lord for 40 years, and then she stopped, and she said, well, I've really walked with the Lord about 10 years. The other 30 years, he was dragging me along. And I can relate to that. It's like the Lord has been dragging me along through a lot of my spiritual journey. And I thank God for it, that his hand is strong and it's secure and he's willing to take me where he wants me to go. But I remember when I first became a Christian that there was a great divide within the Christian church over the person and work of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues and all of these kinds of things. And there was a sect of Christianity that seemed to promote all of these things beyond the measure of Scripture. And as a result of that, there were other Christians that rejected everything about the Holy Spirit because this particular sect went too far with their teaching of the Holy Spirit. Can I suggest to you today, and I spent a great deal of time searching in my own spiritual journey, trying to find the truth. What is the truth about the Holy Spirit? What is the truth about spiritual gifts? What can I expect God to do? And I bought everybody's book. You go into the basement of my house, I've got 1,000 books in the basement of my house that I've studied over the years, and just a huge library. And I bought many, many books back in the day regarding the Holy Spirit, from both sides, from those who believe that spiritual gifts and healing no longer was practiced in today's church, to those who believe every believer ought to be healing everybody they see all the time and speaking in tongues 24 hours a day and all of this kind of stuff. And I read all of these books. You know what I got out of all those books? I got confused out of all those books. I said, God, what is the truth? I was reading in Psalm 119 one day, and in Psalm 119, I found the scripture that says this, thy word is truth. And God opened my eyes and spoke to my heart and said, if you want to know the truth about the Holy Spirit, read the Bible. Just read the Bible. It's all right there. It's all right there. I want to encourage you to read the Bible. Read the Bible. It's wonderful to hear other people's opinions. Again, I've got a huge library, and I appreciate and I thank God for all that I've been able to learn from so many people over so many years. But listen, God's Word is the truth. God's Word is the truth. And can I encourage you today to embrace the truth of the Word of God? And not only is God's Word the truth, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Can I encourage you today to embrace the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak to you? The Holy Spirit, hear this, church. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He's not. A lot of people are weird. Okay? There are a lot of people that are weird. But the Holy Spirit is not weird. And the Holy Spirit will not make you do weird stuff. We wrote a paper many years ago on unusual manifestations and our perspective on those kind of things. The Holy Spirit is not weird. And he'll not lead you to do weird stuff. But listen, he is the Spirit of Jesus. And here's the thing. He'll lead you to do Jesus stuff. He'll lead you to do Jesus stuff. He will empower your life to make you more and more like Jesus. Hold on to Ephesians. I'm coming right back to it, but flip back over to John chapter 14 for just a second. The Holy Spirit will fill and anoint your life and empower you to do Jesus things. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you." In the original language, it's the King James says, what does the King James say? Verily, 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 verily. The original language, it's amen, amen. That's the original language, which means so be it. When Jesus says verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen, what Jesus is saying is I'm about to share with you an absolute, undeniable, unfailing truth. Listen to what I'm about to say. This is important. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Now, a little later on, he will explain what he means by because I go to the Father. He will say, I'm going to the Father so that I can send back the Holy Spirit. And by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, believers will do all of the works that I am also doing. And while we believe in miracles like healing and deliverance and all of these kinds of things, this morning I want us to think about a different kind of miracle. Just as supernatural, although maybe not so much to the eye as to the heart. Listen, I'm talking about a miracle of the transformation of your life, of the changing of who you are from the inside out. A miracle that is just as supernatural as all of those other showy kind of miracles that we like to see, but a miracle that is transformative from the inside out, so that we live a life that is naturally supernatural and we are changed into the image of Jesus. Back over to Ephesians quickly with me, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 3. There's a verse here that I think we quote out of context. We typically use it in the context of the supernatural miracles, healings, all of these kinds of things. But I believe it's actually talking about something else. Ephesians chapter 3 ends, this chapter ends with Jesus praying a prayer for the believers there in the city of Ephesus. And in verse 16, I'll pick the prayer up at that point, and he prays there that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. He's talking about receiving the power of God by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, in order to change us. Watch this. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Watch what he's saying here. He says, by the Holy Spirit who is within you, I want you to experience God's love. I want you to understand what it's really like. Even though your mind can't grasp it, your heart can. And I want you to experience it so that you learn how to show it. We're talking about a transformed life, guys. See, the natural life doesn't show the love of Jesus to other people. The natural life doesn't. But the supernaturally transformed life does. He goes on to finish the next couple of verses here. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. What has he just asked? He's asked that they would see and understand the love of God in their heart and learn how to show that same love to other people. I'm telling you, brother and sister, it is just as big a miracle for a person's heart to be changed where they can walk in the love of God and love everybody all the time, no matter what they've done. That's just as big a miracle as somebody getting raised from the dead. And it's the kind of miracle God wants to do in every single one of us so that we walk in the love of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. He's talking about a great miracle here that he wants done in every one of us. He wants our hearts and lives to be changed so that we can walk in the love of God. Sean, set up my video for me if you would, please. I've got a video example that I want to show you today of what the love of God looks like lived out through another person, a human being. This past week, the power of the Holy Spirit was on full display in a courtroom in Dallas, Texas. A woman had been convicted of murdering a man in his own apartment. And the murdered man's brother was offered an opportunity to give a testimony, victim impact statement, to tell the murderer how what she had done had affected his life. You ever ready? It may take a minute. If you can turn this on for me. I'm sorry, Sean. It'll take just a second for the TV to find the computer.
I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time what you've or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I just I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Natural. That's supernatural. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working in a transformed life. She killed his brother. But he didn't seek justice. He had no malice. He held no bitterness. Instead, his response was, I forgive you. I love you. I don't want you even to have to go to jail. I want the best for you. I want you to give your life to Christ. A natural response would have been, I hate you. I hope you die. If I can get my hands on you, I'd kill you myself. But his response is supernatural. Holy Spirit inspired the work of the helper. And we look at that with wonder and amazement. And we say, that's incredible. How does anybody ever do something like that? Wow. You know what God calls that, church? That right there. Normal Christianity. Normal Christianity. Lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many people would say, but I could never do anything like that. Of course you can't. That's why you need the helper. That's why we need the helper. And can I just tell you this morning that what we witnessed, there's nothing that this young boy, and he's just 18 years old, there's nothing that he did that any of us can't do. Every single one of us have the potential to do the very same thing by the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Just as a side, The story doesn't even end there. After this happens, the judge went back to her chambers, got her personal Bible off of her table, off of her desk, brought it to the courtroom, gave it to the young woman, opened it up to John 3:16, read it to her, and shared Christ with her in the courtroom, and then gave her that Bible to take with her as she went to jail. It's amazing. Embrace the Helper. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Let Him fill your life. Let Him control your life. Let Him do through your life what God wants to do, what we naturally can't do, but the Holy Spirit can. And He will help us to do that. By the way, He's called the Helper. That means He's going to help. That means we have a part to play. This young man, he had to step up. He had to take the stand. He had to be willing to speak. But when he was willing, the Holy Spirit gave him the what to speak. And he was able to share the love of Christ with this young woman in that courtroom. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Be willing to follow His lead. He will empower you to do the will of God, to do the right thing, to do the hard thing. He will empower us to love with a supernatural love. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, the Bible tells us that if we will walk with the Holy Spirit, He will give us power to overcome the temptations of the flesh. And let me read for you just real quickly in closing this morning. I've compiled a list of things from Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians. Works of the flesh that the Holy Spirit will give us the power to resist, to overcome, and to defeat in our lives the temptation to do these carnal things. And let me just read this whole list. Sexual immorality, pornography, greed, strife, anger, filthy language, a bitter and unforgiving heart, dishonesty, lies, pride, hatefulness, a mean spirit, selfishness. All of these things that grieve the Holy Spirit. All of these things that destroy our lives from within. If we will embrace the Holy Spirit, and if we will follow Him, He will empower us to overcome all of these things, to be transformed, to live a life that looks more like Jesus, to be His witness to the world, to experience abundant life and a foretaste of heaven. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Let Him have control of your life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the example that we have seen today of what You can do in a heart and in a life that is completely surrendered to You. I thank You, Father, that You can do the same thing in every single one of us. And we are without excuse if we don't live this exact same way. Thank You, Lord, for the transforming power of Your Holy Spirit, whom You've sent to us to work mightily within us, to give us the power to live a different life, to live a life that is naturally supernatural for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that every one of us today would surrender new and fresh to You with the desire to live a life that testifies the way that Brant Jean's life testifies of the glory and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Change us, O God. Deliver us from complacency. Put within us a desire to be a different person, a better person, a new person. And thank you, God, for giving us the power to live a new life for your glory. Thank you, God. Bless you, Lord. Would you take a few moments this morning to talk to the Lord and ask God to do a work in your life? There's not a one of us here today that doesn't need the Lord to do a deeper work in our lives and to change us and to transform us into the image of Jesus so that we become a living witness and example of who He is and what He does. Would you ask the Lord to do that work in you today? Change our heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in us. Thank you, God. Before we're dismissed this morning, there are a couple of people that we want to pray for specifically here today. People that have been on our prayer list, and I'm just going to ask one by one. Gary Fields, I want to start with you, sir. Would you just stand right there in front of your chair? Gary has an irregular heartbeat that is a problem, and we want to pray for Gary's healing, that that heart would come back into rhythm, that he would need no surgery or anything like that. But God would heal him. And Father, we bring our brother to you. A man with a good heart. We pray, Lord, that you would heal his physical heart. Bring it and keep it in a good rhythm. Make Gary completely well, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Gary. Aggie, would you stand, please, dear? Aggie had oral surgery this past week and as a result has a fractured jaw. And so it'll be several months of healing for Agnes, and we want to pray for her today that God would quicken that healing in her life. And Father, we bring our sister to you today. We ask you to touch her in a mighty and a powerful way. We pray, Lord, that you would heal Agnes. Make her, Lord, completely well. We thank you for doing a deep work in her life and in her heart, as well as in that jaw. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Agnes. Jim, we've prayed every service for Jimmy. Jimmy continues to go through treatment for lymphoma. Can you stand for us, brother? We're going to pray for you. He's only got a couple of treatments left. We're trusting that when this is all said and done, it'll all be over. Amen. And Jimmy's going to be completely well. So, Father, we bring our brother to you one more time. God, your word says to pray and keep on praying. Ask and keep on asking. And so we bring our brother to you in that heart. We bring Jimmy to you again today, Father, and we ask for complete healing of his body, that you would deliver him totally from cancer, and you would make him completely whole for your glory. We ask it, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you all stand with Jim this morning, and we'll close our service. And let's stay in an attitude of prayer for just a moment, if we could, please. Let me just quickly give you an update on my situation. I went to our family doctor this past week. As we've shared with you, healing is coming in all of the other areas of my body, and the brain is all healed, and everything is looking good there. And my family doctor has decided that the time has come to begin to step down the medications that I am on for seizure activity, and we're actually starting that today. Praise the Lord for that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm a little nervous. The medication, what we're going to find out is everything completely healed and I no longer need the medication? Or is the medication just hiding and preventing seizures from happening, and will I have to live on it? I'm trusting God that we're going to get weaned from this medication, going to be off of this medication, and the healing is going to be complete, and we're going to move on with life, trusting God. Jim?
Father, we are trusting you today. We stand with our pastor. We thank you, Father, and we declare it done that he is healed.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father, for the power of medicine. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that you've given the doctors.
Thank you, Jesus.
But you, oh God, and you alone are the great physician. Yes.
Thank you, Father.
So, Father, the promises that are in the word for him, for all of us, belong to him as well. Jesus defeated this disease, this problem at Calvary's cross.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray that the manifestation of your healing would come and would come quickly. That there would be no adverse effects as he is weaned off of this medicine gradually.
Thank you, Lord.
Father. That it would not just be masking something, but Father, that the medicine would no longer be necessary.
Thank you, God.
That Father, as he gets off the medicine, that nothing would change, that there would be no more seizures,
yes.
That we'd be no more problems,
never.
No more difficulty, Father.
Thank
he
you, Lord.
He is completely
yes.
and totally healed. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. And then there's one more we need to pray for today. And can I tell you that I don't like to pray this kind of prayer? Mary Ellen, would you come and join me, please? Mary Ellen Brown has been with us for a number of years now and been serving at the church and faithful and a part of our community here at the church. She has recently taken a job in Northern Virginia and is leaving after church to head for her new home. So this is her last time with us today, and we want to bless her as she leaves and goes to her new opportunity and the new life God has for her. Would you join me as we pray for Mary Ellen? Father, thank you so much for sending Mary Ellen our way. We thank you, Lord, for all that she has contributed to the life of Victory Christian Fellowship over the years. We thank you, Lord, for the presence that she has brought to our church and the love that she's brought. We pray, Lord, that as she leaves Lynchbury and goes back home, back to Northern Virginia, Father, she would go with the strength and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, that you would guide every step of her life, that, Father, you would open doors of opportunity for her, that she would see that this is not just a job and a change where a job is concerned, but this is a change of mission, that you would give her new opportunities in a new community to serve you and to serve others in that part of Virginia and the world. Pray for your blessing on her life, Father. You would watch over her and keep her. You would provide for her abundantly so that she can be a blessing wherever she goes. Thank you again, Father, for the time that we've had together. We thank you, Lord, for the eternity that we will have together with you because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In fact, Becky, why don't you take Mary Ellen to the back door back there, and so everybody can say goodbye to her as you're on the way out today. Y'all go ahead, and we'll sing and be dismissed this morning, all right? Don't forget the book table back there and the Operation Christmas Child flyers, the financial report that's back there, and say goodbye to Mary Ellen on your way out. Let's sing as we're dismissed today. In your presence, in your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great week in the Lord.